Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
We're going to be taking a little break from the book of James. We've been going through the book of James, but we're taking a few week break because of Palm Sunday and because of Good Friday and because of Easter. We're going to go to the book of Romans for a couple weeks. So we'll be back. Don't worry. We'll be back. We'll be starting James chapter 2 in a few weeks. And we're also celebrating communion this morning. And to prepare for that, we're going to be in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you're using this Bible that we just handed out, it's page 799. 799. If you don't have this, you have another Bible, you're going to find it yourself. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. All right? So you can find it. And we'll also have the words up here that you can follow along on the words. Okay? If anybody needs a Bible, be our guest. Take it. It's our gift to you. And also there's tapes and CDs of the service. You can help yourself. And also if you've missed in the past few weeks, you want to kind of follow along, we also have the different CDs back there. And also we have it on podcast. You just go on the website right there in the bulletin. And all the services are on podcast. You can follow along right with that, okay? Usually we celebrate communion the first Sunday of each month. But we're doing it today because next week is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And I thought it would fit much better this week because this is Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus was presented as the Messiah to the people of Israel. We know that they rejected him. We rejected him. He had to go to the cross first for our sins. We know all that. But just a few days after Palm Sunday, all the celebration went right to Good Friday. Right after the big celebration and everybody welcoming him, when they realized that he didn't come as a conquering Messiah, but he was coming as the Messiah who's going to suffer for us, that's not something that the world wanted. And as a result, that it led right to all the excitement, led right to the sadness of the cross. But we know that the cross was very important for us. We don't have a Good Friday service here because obviously we're at the school. So I wanted to focus today, moving from Palm Sunday in worship to Good Friday, and focus on what Christ accomplished on the cross for us. At the end, you see the, back by popular demand, right behind me, we have a cross, and each Palm Sunday, Good Friday, we give people a chance to nail something to the cross. Nobody has to do it. Some people do, some people don't. It doesn't matter. But it's going to be part of the communion where there might be something God has laid on your heart to nail to the cross. Maybe a struggle you're going through. Maybe asking for forgiveness for something. Maybe you need encouragement from an area. Maybe you're going through a real trial, a struggle in your life, and you nail something to the cross and leave it at the cross. So just so you know, that's going to kind of be the ending of the service as we go to communion in a little bit, okay? Today, though, we're in Romans chapter 6. And if you have the Bible that they just handed out, the blue Bible there, it says a title for Romans chapter 6, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. And I want to focus on verses 1 to 7 today, which is dead to sin. And next week we're going to focus on alive in Christ. It's all about the resurrection, okay? And I titled this, Leave It at the Cross. Leave It at the Cross. Let me pray first. Father, I know each one of us carries something in this morning that we need to leave at the cross. I know because I've talked about 10 different people, and I know the struggles they're going through, and I know what I've gone through this week. And Father, we just pray that as we've worshiped and started to focus on you, that as we get to the Word now, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. We know that we're here for a special reason, every one of us. And Lord, no matter what we've carried in today, I pray that we would be able to leave it at the cross this morning. We pray for your mercy and grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the verses first of all, the first seven verses, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that since our old self was crucified with him, I'm sorry, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So he starts off with verse 1. I'll read it again. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He starts out with a crazy question. Should we keep on sinning? Should we keep doing wrong so we can keep receiving God's grace? That's his forgiveness. That's his free forgiveness and free love. Should we keep on doing that? In fact, in verse 15, look down to, if you're in the Bible, look down to verse 15, 6:15. He says it again. What then? Shall we sin because we are under not under the law but under grace? By no means. He starts off with a crazy question. You see, Paul taught, the Holy Spirit taught through the Apostle Paul that we are saved by faith in God's grace, by trusting in the gift that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And he taught that we're saved by faith, not by following the law. The law doesn't mean much to us today, but in that time, if you were Jewish, that would mean following the law. Today it would be like being good enough. A lot of people try to be good enough to get to heaven today. It's the same idea then. They try to follow the law that God had given. And that's not, Paul said, no, we're saved by faith in God's grace, not by following the law. The law's job, in fact, I'm just going to read you a verse. I don't have this on PowerPoint. Back at chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. The law doesn't save us. It makes us conscious of sin. It convicts us. That's the law's job, is to bring us under conviction. The law's job, don't do this, don't do that. The law's job is to drive us to our knees. The law's job is to bring us to the cross and say, I have done wrong. I need Jesus Christ. That's the job of the law, to bring us to the cross, to find grace, to find forgiveness. But many people are still confused. Even those who grew up in Christian traditions, well, you talk to them and they often say, I've been good. I never killed anybody. I'm not that bad a person. I'm sure God will let me into heaven. That's probably the majority of the country thinks like that, even those who grew up in Christian traditions, because they're still trying to follow the law. But the law can't save, and being good enough can't save. Even many of us who are saved by faith, we put our faith in God's grace, his gift on that cross, but we still try to live good enough. We still try to white knuckle it. We still try to do it on our own power and our own strength instead of God's grace. Listen, it's very important that we're saved by faith and we live by faith. I have a little insert in the bulletin there, and I hope you take this home and put it somewhere that you can look at it a lot. But Mel Everson, who wrote his he has the Friendship Ministries. His last newsletter was really good, a couple of things he put in there. This is from Teen Challenge. And you look at the top, this is a thermometer. The reason I'm giving you this is a thermometer, and I want you to take your temperature spiritually. Am I living by the law, or am I living by grace? What am I living by? Each day you got to take our spiritual temperature. And look at the top one where it says law versus grace. Now, the law leads to frustration. Grace leads to great joy and victory. When we live by the law, our acceptance is based on our performance. But when we live by grace, it's unconditional acceptance. The law, our confidence is through our self-righteousness. Under grace, our confidence is through the gift of righteousness, through Jesus Christ. The law attempt to play a Christian role. You know, we try to play this role and pretend we're somebody spiritual. But in grace, we're the same person at church, at home, at work. We're the same person, warts and all, same person. With the law, our motives stem from and our insecurities. But with grace, the motives stem from confidence in Christ. Now, hang on to this. We're going to refer to this a few more times as we go through here. But there's a lot there, isn't there? Keep that where you can look at it and read it and meditate on it and think about it, because that's a thermometer. Are we living by the law, or are we living by grace? See, we're saved by faith, we're saved by grace, and we have to live by grace. But some people now took Paul's teaching, and this is why he says this crazy question at the beginning. This is why he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Some people took his teaching on grace and twisted it. They were saying, well, I'm under grace. I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace, so I can live any way I want. Can you imagine somebody saying that? Nobody would do that today, would they? Well, I put my faith in Jesus. I can live any way I want. I raised my hand, you know, I saw Billy Graham on TV, I prayed that prayer, so I can live anyway, it doesn't matter how I live. It's most of the country, isn't it? It's most of the church in America today. It's crazy, but it's the same thing. It's called easy believism. Just believe here, but it doesn't have to touch my heart. And that's not what grace and faith is all about. Grace, we know something, and then it goes to the heart. It's very important. That's why the majority of this country calls itself born again. And I know born again, it's taken a lot of abuse. There's a lot of crazy people who claim they're born again. But it's a biblical concept. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born spiritually. Just like you were born physically, we must be born spiritually. And we do that when we put our faith in Christ. We are born again. But believe it or not, the majority of Americans claim to be born again. Listen, if the majority of Americans are born again, could our country be the way that it is today? It's impossible. But they've done other studies, and they went deeper, and they said, okay, those who are born again, let's see if you're following the word and really believing what it says and trying to obey it. And when they did that, they came up with a different measuring stick called disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of putting it into understandable. And they found out only about, what was the percentage? 5% of Americans are actually disciples of Jesus Christ. See, that we don't want to just be born again. We want to be a born again disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? So Paul jumps over all over this crazy teaching, and then he says in verse 2, he says, by no means we died to sin. How can we live in any longer? That's crazy thinking. We're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, the fact is you are now, before Christ, dead to sin. The Greek, it's the indicative mood, which means it's a fact. All right? For those who are English majors, I wasn't, but that's what it means. All right, now remember that. It's a fact, okay? Because we're going to come back to that a little bit. Then he goes on to talk about baptism and uses a picture from baptism. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were there buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we see this picture from baptism. That's why baptism is so important. It's a visible picture of what has happened in your heart. Some of you are just starting your spiritual journey or different steps. We all go through a spiritual journey. But for those who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you took that step, when you said, God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, all the wrong I've ever done, I ask you to forgive me. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I give my life to him. When you've taken that step, at that point, when you took that step, you became a brand new person. You died to your old self. You became a brand new person in Jesus Christ. And when that happened, that's something that happened inside of you, but nobody could really see that, okay? They can see your changed life, which is super, but they couldn't see what happened actually in your heart. There's no medical machine that can picture that, okay? That's a spiritual thing. All right? Now, baptism is a visible picture of what happened inside. That's why baptism is so important. It symbolizes what Jesus did for us on the cross. When you're baptized, you go under the water and you die to your old self, just like Jesus died, and you come back out of the water. You're coming out showing people you're a brand new person, just like Jesus rose from the dead. That's all the picture of the cross, death, the tomb, the resurrection. We go under the water, we come back out alive, a brand new person. It's all a picture of what Jesus did. He died for our sins, and it says here, talking about this with the baptism, he's connecting the dots for us. He said he died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. He raised to life to give us the power to live a new life. See, the cross is super important. That's where we get our forgiveness from. But the resurrection is also vital because that's where we get the power for our new life. In fact, in Colossians 2, verse 12, I think I'm going to have it up behind me there. In Colossians 2, verse 12 says this. Paul writes a very similar verse tied to this one. In Colossians 2, verse 12, it says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That's what gives us the power to live the new life. Now, in the New Testament, when you became a Christian, typically, if you read the Bible, typically you were baptized, boom, boom. As soon as you put your faith in Christ, you are baptized right away. It's simultaneous. In our culture, we've kind of gotten away from that. But biblically, we should be baptized pretty quickly once we put our faith in Christ. It's a very important step. If you've never been baptized, I want you to really pray about that. Or if you're only baptized as a baby, an infant, sprinkling, that's a whole different thing. That's a dedication. That's a whole different thing. The biblical baptism is once you put your faith in Christ, the next step is to be baptized, because it shows what happened in your heart. It's visible. It's a witness, a visible picture. It's commanded by Jesus Christ. And best of all, it's awesome. Awesome. It's one of the most awesome experiences you'll ever have spiritually, is when you take that step of baptism, following Jesus Christ. Our next one, August 15th. I just got the car show dates. Whenever there's a car show here, we go over to Lewis Island in the morning or in the evening, whatever works out, depending on the river flooding. And we have a baptism at Lewis Island. And if you've never seen it, it's just awesome. It's just an awesome experience. So I would really encourage you, if something's holding you back from baptism, maybe something's holding you back. Maybe you just never knew about it, but I really want you to pray about it. If something's holding you back, talk to me, talk to someone, whatever you need to do, deal with it, get it out of the way, because you're missing out on an awesome experience that is just super. Okay, then, going down to verse 5, back to Romans 6, verse 5. I'll read verses 5 to 7 now. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. He says in verse 5, if we've been united with Jesus Christ in his death, if we've come to the cross, if we've asked for forgiveness for sin and repented, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we've taken that step, coming to the cross, asking for forgiveness for everything in our life that is between us and God, all the garbage, all the sin, all the hurt that we've, destructive stuff in our life, we've asked Jesus to forgive us, we've repented, we said, God, I want to walk away from it, I give you my life, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. If you've done that, it says, verse 5 says, we will experience the resurrection power of Christ in our life. There will be a changed life. Okay? He says that. But the key is knowing something in verse 6. The key is knowing, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We have to know that very important fact. And many of us forget that, don't we? When we put our faith in, and I want to really drive this home, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our sinful nature dies on that cross. Do you understand something? When you put your faith in Christ, your old self was actually nailed to the cross. Nailed. You nailed it. And the old self was crucified with Christ, and we became a new, the Holy Spirit, God's actual spirit comes inside and makes us a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We become actually, we're born as a brand new person spiritually. It's awesome. The problem is that many of us don't really realize what that means for our life. We don't really realize what it means when we become, many times we become a Christian, we don't realize that old self was crucified and we don't have to carry it anymore. And a lot of times we're carrying around dead weight. And the movie, the book, actually I'll use the book, there was a movie too, All Quiet on the Western Front. Anybody ever read All Quiet on the Western Front? The hero of the story, this young man, German, has a friend, and his friend gets wounded. And they're at the trenches, and they're in the middle of a battle, and it's real touching. There's a good movie on it too. He takes his friend, and his friend is a big old hulking, you know, German soldier, and he says, I'm going to take you back to the field hospital. So he, right in the middle of this battle, bullets whizzing everywhere, he picks his friend up, and he starts to carry him back. And it's been a while since I read the story, but it seemed like it took him a long time, and it was really hard, and he kept putting him down and talking to him the whole way, carrying him, bullets are flying everywhere. He's carrying him, and it was really hard for him to get this guy back to the hospital. He finally gets him back there after a long time, exhausted, worn out, and he puts him down on the table for the medics to work on. Here's my friend, he's wounded, please help him. He looked down at him, and they looked at him, and he said, you wasted your time. He's dead. While he was carrying his friend, a sniper shot his friend and killed him. And the whole time he's carrying him, talking to him, struggling with his dead body, he was dead. Many of us do the same thing spiritually, don't we? We still talk to our old self, still the crazy voices, you know. We're still carrying this garbage around, this dead weight around. And Jesus is saying, leave it at the cross. It's gone. Verse 6, memorize this verse. For we know that our old self was crucified so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Do you know that your old self is dead? Remember verse 2, it's a fact. It's a fact. Why was it killed? So that the body of sin might be done away with. Now this is, gets tricky part. We know it's a fact that it's dead, but it says so that it might be done away with. In the Greek, once again, this is a subjunctive mood. Subjunctive is the mood of, any English majors? Possibility. It's in the Greek, it's a possibility, the mood of possibility. The fact is we're dead so that it's now possible to live the new life, a brand new life. It's possible, but I hope you're living that life. I hope we're all living this full life. It's possible, but guess what? We have to decide to live it or not. Every day we have to make the decision. Am I going to live this new life in Jesus Christ, or am I going to go back to my old life? Am I going to pick up that dead body again? Am I going to, you know, start trying to get some life out of this dead body? You know, trying to find enjoyment again. You know, we have to make the decision. Are we going to live that life or not? We have to decide that. It's kind of like marriage. It's kind of like marriage. When you say I do in marriage, guess what? You're married, right? We're married, but the fact is we're married, but it's now possible to live this marriage life, right? But if one or both spouses aren't committed to living that, guess what? It's miserable. We don't enjoy that life, right? And that's the same picture here. We say, I do to Jesus Christ. Fact is we're brand new, but we have to decide, are we going to live that life? Are we going to live it? And it's not automatic. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the old self is crucified, but it's going to put up a fight. Going to put up a fight. It's kind of like those scary movies. You know those old B movies, scary movies? You know, you probably all watched them. The lady, finally, the evil guy falls off a cliff. He falls down on the rocks, and she's free. And what does the lady always do? She goes down, and she gets close. And she starts coming up to the dead guy, the villain. And I'm always like, don't go near him. Don't go near him, because you know what's coming. And then and what does she always do? She always gets down and listens to the harder, gets really close. Why would anybody do that? You know, you push a bad guy off a cliff, you'd leave, right? But no, not in these movies, right? And that's why they're B movies. And then just as she gets close, he jumps up and grabs her around the neck, right? And she screams and takes a stake and jabs it through his heart and finishes him again. I know some of you have watched these many times also. That's the old self. It's always, we're still tempted to go back to the garbage, right? And it's always, the reflexes are still there grabbing at us, and we got to keep on killing it. And not only that, in the midst of all this, Satan, our enemy, Jesus said he's our enemy, our adversary, he goes on the offensive and he says, you're not dead spiritually. I mean, you're not dead to your old self. You're not a Christian spiritually. You're not dead to that old self. That's not true. Look what you're doing. Look what you're thinking. Look how you just acted. This isn't real for you. And he starts to attack. Anybody ever hear those voices? And a lot of times we think it's God talking. And it's not God. The God, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he convicts us. Conviction is meant to turn us away from something, and once that's done, it's done. We ask for forgiveness, we move on. Condemnation comes from Satan, and he's always hammering us. You did that, you think that, you this, and it's meant to push us down. Go back to that sheet, that Mel's newsletter, and I'm just going to, this is a good one too, conviction versus condemnation. Condemnation cuts you off from God. Conviction leads you to Jesus. This is how you can tell the voices. Are they from the Holy Spirit or are they from something else? Condemnation says you're no good. Conviction says I love you. Condemnation leads you to a superficial change. Conviction leads to genuine change. Condemnation separates you from others. Conviction brings you into fellowship and accountability. There's a lot there, isn't it? We have to learn to recognize when it's conviction, the Holy Spirit, and we act on it, and then we're done with it. We don't carry it anymore. Or is this condemnation? And we don't listen to condemnation. Don't listen to it. Listen, our old self is dead. Dead. But we must know it, and we must daily crucify, stick that stake in. Each time the reflexes kick in, stab it in the heart. Each time, you know, we're tempted, stab it in the heart. You know, we have to keep doing that. How do we do that? Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith. Daily crucifying and living by faith. By faith. We're saved by faith. And we live by faith. Each time we're tempted to go back to something, to listen to the reflex, each time we're tempted, no, I don't have to give in to that now. I don't have to, because I believe Jesus not only forgave me, but set me free. We don't have to believe that anymore. Every time in our mind we're tempted to go back to old destructive behavior, or our body is tempted, or our emotions kick in, our damaged emotions that haven't been renewed fully yet through the Holy Spirit. It takes time to renew all these things, our mind, our body, our emotions. It's not renewed yet, and we're still tempted to go back to the old stuff. We say, Jesus, help me. Help me. I put my faith in you to save me, and now I'm putting my faith in you to help me not go back to that and to depend on you. And when we mess up, and we're going to mess up, just because we put our faith in Christ doesn't mean we mess up anymore. But when we mess up, we don't have to start this downward spiral, because if we're living on our own effort and by the law, we do this downward spiral, we crash, well, I do this, well, okay, now A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right down the line, right? We don't have to go through that, because we come right to Christ and say, God, I messed up. Please forgive me and help me. Go right to him. Don't clean yourself up first. Go right to him. Right to the throne of grace for mercy and grace. Immediately. That's what it's all about, living by faith. I put one last thing on this sheet that I'm going to read to you. It says, a beautiful Christian. Kate had sent this to me, and I adapted a little bit. It's a great email this week. I think this just really puts out what I'm trying to say. It was a great illustration that Kate had sent me. It says this: when I say I'm a Christian, I'm not shouting that I'm living clean. I am whispering I was lost, but now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak of this with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and need his strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I have failed and need God to clean up my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who's received God's grace somehow. It's powerful, isn't it? That's what it means to live by faith. And I want to encourage you to keep this somewhere that you'll see it and use this as a reminder this week for the rest of your life. Keep it as a reminder. And another reminder that we're going to close up with now as we go to communion is the cross. This is for those, you don't have to do this. If you want to just now check out and just stay in your seat and pray and focus on God till we're done with this little, that's okay. Nobody has to do anything. But for those who feel led by God, nobody looks around. We don't videotape. I don't know who does anything. I have my eyes closed over there too. But if anybody feels led by God, you can come up and leave something at the cross. Maybe it's a sin that you want to be free from. Maybe it's a struggle that you need God's grace with. Maybe it's pain in your life that you say, God, I just need your healing touch. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you just to come down those two aisles on the side. If you're over here, I guess you have to go out the back door, kind of loop around here. But come down these two aisles over here, and Ed Bennett will be over here to helping you. No, I'm sorry. There's a piece of paper. You just take a piece of paper, and you write something on the red paper. Then you walk right over here, and this is where Ed will help you nail it to the cross. And don't worry, no one will ever see this. Ed, the only one who's going to have access to these papers is Ed. He's not going to read them. Those who know Ed well, Ed Bennett is going to take them and write home, and he has the gift of pyromania. He is going to burn them. He loves to burn. Any excuse, he'll probably burn the cross before he's done. But he's going to, I have the same gift, by the way. So we're on the same page with that. But you take it and just nail it, and we're going to leave it at the cross. And then if you feel that maybe you're not ready to take communion, you're just that's your first step, that's okay. But if you're ready, then just come right back to the table here and take communion, and then just head on back. And with the communion, the way we'll do it this morning is just take the cup and the piece of bread and go back to your seat and just pray. And when you're ready, take the bread and take the cup. And the bread represents the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us communion to take. It's a reminder that he gave his body in our place. And that's the body. As we eat it, we're remembering the body he gave. And when you drink the grape juice, that's remembering the blood of Christ, that he gave his blood, that gives us our forgiveness. That's his sacrifice for us. We're remembering the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and how he gave himself for us. Now, if you're not a Christian yet and you're not ready for that, you could just stay in your seat or you could just do the nail thing. But if you're not a Christian yet, then just wait. But I hope that today before we're done, you do put your faith in Christ and feel free to do that. If you are a Christian and there's some sin in your life, something you're just saying, God's talking to you like, God, I'm not listening, then go to the cross, but hold off on the communion. Because it's very serious, communion. But I hope that everybody here, no matter what you've carried in, that you could nail it to the cross and take communion. But that once again, it's just between you and God. I hope everyone here, before we're done praying here in a minute, have you put your faith in Christ and you've confessed the sin and given it to God and you're able to commune. Commune just means to commune, connect with God. And this is just a reminder that once we put our faith in Christ, we can commune with him anytime. We can connect with God anytime through his son, Jesus Christ. So we're just going to pray, and then as the music starts, you can just follow God's lead, however he leads you. Okay, and once again, no pressure. Everybody just, it's between you and God what you do. Let's pray. As we go this time of prayer, let's just take a few moments to talk to God just between us and God, right from our heart to God's heart. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian yet. And I know every week we have lots of people that haven't taken that step of faith yet. But maybe today, this Palm Sunday, this Easter season, that God's speaking to your heart and saying, I want you to become my child today. I want you to put your faith in me today. And you know today is the day. Right where you're sitting, just pray the prayer of faith. Listen to God's voice and pray the prayer of faith. It's no magic prayer. Just say something like, God, I do believe Jesus died on the cross for me. For all the wrong I've ever done or ever will do, I believe he died for me on that cross. so that I could be forgiven. And I put my faith in Jesus. I put my trust and hope in Jesus Christ. I give him my life. I don't want my old life, the garbage anymore, the sin anymore. I walk away from that. I give you my life. I want the awesome life that you want for me. You've promised to give the peace and the joy that you want for me. I give you my life. If you've prayed that prayer, if you've taken that step of faith, I want to encourage you to let somebody know. Maybe you came with someone, or maybe you have a friend here, or fill out the card, stick it in the box, or call me, tell me, email me, so we can encourage you and help you. Because you've just experienced Easter already. You've already experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your heart. And he's going to make you into the person, transform you into the person he always meant you to be. He's going to take all the hurt and all the mistakes and all the scars and do something beautiful in your life through his son, Jesus Christ. For those of us who have already put our faith in Christ, how is God speaking to us? Are we different than we were a year ago on Palm Sunday? Has that transformation continued? What's blocking our communion, our connecting with God on a daily basis? What do we need to leave at the cross this morning? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move now in our hearts. Pray that in Jesus' name.